I invite you to be opening to the passage you see over my head, Matthew chapter 6, and we'll be looking at verses 11 through 15. Matthew chapter 6, 11 through 15. Coach Spears, I appreciate that prayer. Thank you especially for reminding me about the anniversary. That could have been bad. Let's read from Matthew chapter 6, and you will recognize this as part of the Lord's Prayer. Beginning at verse 11, Jesus says, "Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." A man was talking to his friend about troubles in his marriage. And he says, "When we argue, my wife gets historical." And his friend said, "You mean she gets hysterical, right?" And he said, "No, she gets historical. She brings up everything that I have done wrong throughout the history of our relationship." That marriage is in trouble, isn't it? A marriage in which the participants cannot get past their past is in real trouble. In fact, any relationship where the individuals involved in the relationship cannot get past the past, it's in trouble. Not being able to get past the past can ruin a marriage and a friendship and a congregation and a community and a country and a world. I was born in 1968. And as a nation, we have come so far since then. We've made such progress. Now, there's work to be done for sure, but we've made such progress. But it seems that we can't enjoy or celebrate the progress that we've made because so many want to get historical and pretend like it's still 50 years ago and no progress has been made. But let's put things on a more personal level. Let's talk about you getting past your past. It is a fact of life that people hurt one another. Sometimes the hurt is intentional and sometimes it's unintentional. Sometimes it is severe and sometimes it's relatively minor, but it happens. You are going to hurt others. Others are going to hurt you. It's like two porcupines living together in an Alaskan winter, and they want to cuddle up and get close so that they can share warmth, but they keep pricking one another with those quills. And that's how we are in our relationships. We have relational quills, we have faults, and we poke one another and prod one another, and it's hard. You're going to hurt others, and others are going to hurt you. And what I want to say this morning is this: what you choose to do with the hurt you receive from other people is going to have a great deal to say about how healthy and how happy and how holy you are in this life. When you are hurt, you have two options. You can hold on to the hurt. You can nurse the grudge, you can become bitter, you can hate, you can look at yourself as a victim, or you can let go. You can put it down, you can turn loose, you can be not a victim, but a victor. You can choose to forgive. And what I want to stand up and say to you this morning is that second option is infinitely better than the first. Let's let Jesus' teaching from the Lord's Prayer teach us this morning how to get past the past. Let's talk about forgiveness. First, I want to say a word about the meaning of forgiveness. Now, a lot of people misunderstand what forgiveness is, and maybe that trips them up in actually practicing biblical forgiveness. Forgiveness is not condoning what the person did to hurt you. Forgiveness is not excusing it and saying it was no big deal. Forgiveness is not minimizing the damage that was done to you. Forgiveness is not forgetting what that person did to hurt you. It's none of that. Forgiveness is not even reconciliation. The person who hurt you might not be willing to be reconciled to you. Or it may be that someone has hurt you over a continual period of time and you need to put up a boundary and protect yourself from them and not really be in a reconciled relationship with them. But you can still forgive. The literal meaning of the word forgive when you see it in the New Testament is to cancel a debt. That's what forgiveness is. To cancel a debt. You see, when you hurt me, I feel a couple of things. Number one, I want to hurt you back. It's just human nature. I want to hurt you back. And number two, I feel like you owe me something when you have hurt me. An apology, at least, maybe more than that. Forgiveness is letting go of those feelings. Forgiveness is canceling the debt. Forgiveness is you hurt me, but I don't want to hurt you, and I don't feel like you owe me anything. That is biblical forgiveness. Two brothers got in a fight, and their mother was trying to negotiate the peace treaty between them. She said, now you're going to apologize, and you're going to wish one another well. And so she stared at that first boy till he started talking, and he said to his brother, okay, I forgive you, and I wish whatever you wish for me. And that other brother threw his hands up and said, see, mommy's starting it up again. No, that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is canceling the debt and saying, I no longer wish harm on you. In fact, I wish for you only good. Now, the world says you have a right to revenge. The world says forgiveness is weak. Forgiveness is submission. Forgiveness is foolish. Why would you forgive someone? Do unto others as they have done unto you is the golden rule as far as the world is concerned. But Christians, says Jesus, have a higher and a healthier and a holier calling than that. We're called to forgive. So the meaning of forgiveness is canceling the debt owed to you after someone has hurt you. Number two, the motivation for forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is hard work. Let's not pretend anything else. It is hard work. Why would I be motivated to do the hard work of forgiveness after someone has hurt me? Well, let me mention three reasons from the Bible. Number one, the appreciation of grace. The appreciation of grace. Jesus says, forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. So Jesus is alluding to this idea that God forgives us of our debts. God forgives us of our sins. If we're Christians, the basic New Testament teaching concerning forgiveness is this. God, Christian, has forgiven you. Now you go forgive others. If you are a Christian, the wrongs that you have committed against God and others have been forgiven by God. And God says, now, pay it forward. I forgave you, you forgive others. If you're having a hard time forgiving someone after they have hurt you, maybe you need to be reminded of the grace that you have received. Maybe you need to go back in time to that point of your baptism and remember how good it felt to be forgiven by God when you needed forgiveness. The truth is, I will never be called upon to forgive anyone any more than God has forgiven me. Several years ago, there was a glitch at the IRS, and a lot of just normal, regular, middle-class folks like you and me got a tax bill from the IRS for an outrageous amount of money. Some 3,000 just middle-class taxpayers received word from the IRS that they owed $300 million in taxes. One woman named Lori Marling, who lives in Columbus, Ohio, she got a bill from the IRS for $270 billion. Now, the letter did say that she could pay it in easy installments of $90 billion. Can I remind you of something? Because of your sin, you were hauled into heaven's court. And God said, pay up, pay the damages. And there's no way you could. It might as well have been $270 billion. There's no way you could pay it. And you were about to be dragged out to be locked up in debtor's prison when Jesus calls out from the back of the courtroom and says, let him go free. I'll cover his debt. And if I am having trouble forgiving people for the sins they commit against me, it could be that I need to go back to that courtroom and remember how much I have been forgiven, how much I needed it, and how grateful I should be to have it. So there is the appreciation of grace. A second motivation for forgiveness is the avoidance of guilt. Verse 14, Jesus says, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. The New Testament makes it clear that an unforgiving spirit is unforgivable. An unforgiving spirit indicates that we have not repented, and we have to repent in order to be Christians. Has it ever occurred to you how dangerous it is to pray the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our debts as, like, in the same way we forgive our debtors. Do you know when you pray this prayer, you are saying, God, please treat me when I sin against you the way I treat others when they sin against me? Are you comfortable praying that prayer the way you're acting today? When I refuse to forgive, I burn the very bridge over which I must cross. There's a man named John Oglethorpe, and he was talking to a preacher, John Wesley. And Oglethorpe said, I never forget and I never forgive. And John Wesley said, well then, sir, I hope you never sin. You see, Jesus says the Lord's Prayer is asking God to treat you the way you treat others. And so you better be forgiving others when they wrong you. And then a third motivation for forgiveness is the achievement of gain. The achievement of gain. Remember, this is a part of the Sermon on the Mount, right, that we're reading here. And when Jesus gets to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, blessed. And remember, one of the translations for blessed is happy. Blessed are those who hear these words of mine and do them, put them into practice. I should forgive others because of the gain that comes to me when I do. An unforgiving spirit keeps me in prison, and forgiving sets me free. I forgave and set a prisoner free, and then I realized the prisoner was me. If someone hurts me and I hold on to it, I am letting them hurt me over and over and over and over and every time I think about it, Every time I resent it, they're hurting me all over again, and I can be free of all that. And the way is forgiveness. And you say, well, I'm not going to let them off the hook, though. Well, just remember, you're on the hook with them. And you're just as trapped as they are, maybe more so. You say, well, I'm going to get even. Okay, so you're up here with the way you're living, and they hurt you. The way they're living is down here, and you're going to get even. You know what that means? You're going to come down to their level. Is that what you want to do? No, Jesus says there is a better way. When we refuse to forgive, we take bitterness into our body, and that is slow suicide. Bitterness is drinking poison and hoping your enemy gets sick. A refusal to forgive is like holding a hot coal in your hand, waiting for a good chance to chunk it at your enemy. Jesus says, don't live that way. You'll be miserable. I read a story about a man who visited a genie, and the genie said, okay, I'll grant you one wish, but whatever I give you, I'm going to double it and give it to your enemy. Man thought about that and said, okay, make me blind in one eye. And if I refuse to forgive, that's what I'm doing. I'm hurting myself, hoping that somehow I'm hurting that person more. Forgive. Forgive for Christ's sake. Forgive for others' sake. And forgive for your sake. And now finally, the method of forgiveness. If there's someone you need to forgive, let me mention a little five-step process here quickly that will help you do it. Everett Worthington is the world's leading expert in the study of forgiveness. And he was interested in the subject and already studying it, and then his elderly mother was raped and murdered in her home in Knoxville, Tennessee. And then an interest became a fascination. Because he said, I want to have a good rest of my life. I have got to forgive this young man that committed this crime. How can I do it? And what he came up with is the REACH model of forgiveness. And you're going to find it's very biblical. The R in REACH stands for recall. And that is, you recall the hurt that was done to you. If somebody's hurt you, we're not saying forget it or shove it in the back of your mind or pretend it never happened. We are encouraging you to think about the hurt that was done and how it felt, and go ahead and remember it. Recall it. And then the E is for empathize, and this is so very important. Think about what that person did to you and assign a charitable motive for what they did. Okay, they did it, and it hurt, and it was wrong, and the hurt is real. But here maybe is why they did it. If I were their lawyer, this is what I would argue. Yes, they did it, but here is why. Jesus did that on the cross, didn't he? While they were killing him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He assigned them a charitable motive. He said, you know what? They don't understand. They are doing the best they can right now with the information they have and their experience and what they know. And that charitable motive enabled Jesus to forgive people while they were torturing and killing him. Ira North was a minister of the Madison Church of Christ as it grew to be the largest congregation of the Church of Christ in the world. And you might imagine he took a lot of criticism in that very visible role. People would come up to Ira North and say, did you hear what so-and-so said about you? And he would always say the same thing. He'd say, oh, they didn't mean that. They're just having a bad day. And that's the end of it. Assign them a charitable motive. Empathize with the person who hurt you. Number three is the word altruistic, and that just means a selfless concern for the well-being of other people. Decide that you are going to give the gift of forgiveness. Have you noticed that forgiveness, give, is right there in the word? And so you decide, I'm going to give this gift. I'm going to remember a time when I was forgiven. I'm going to remember a time when I hurt somebody and I needed forgiveness and they gave it to me. And I'm going to remember how freeing that was and how light I felt and how relieved I felt. Now, I want to pass that feeling on to somebody. Let me pass it on to the person who hurt me. The C in the word reach is commit. You just say, you say to someone, maybe even you write in your journal, today I choose to forgive the person for hurting me. Clara Barton was the founder of the American Red Cross. She was talking with a friend of hers, and her friend was reminding her of something that someone had done to hurt Clara years before. Clara wouldn't really respond to what her friend was saying. And finally, her friend said, now, come on now, you know what I'm talking about. And Clara said, you know what? I distinctly remember forgetting that. And so I make a choice. I am choosing to put this down. I'm announcing it to other people. I'm declaring it to myself. I am putting this down. Of course, you can't literally forget it, but you can cancel the debt, and you can choose to do that. That's commit to it. And then finally, hold. Hold on to it. Forgiveness is probably not going to be a one and done for you. You're going to put it down and you think it's past, and then something's going to happen, or you're going to have a thought, or you're going to have a memory, and then it's back again. And so you choose over and over to hold on to that commitment of forgiveness that you gave. A couple was having their 50th wedding anniversary, and someone got the woman aside and said, how could you live with that rascal for 50 years? And she said, well, I'll tell you the secret. She said, on our wedding day, I made a list of 10 things that I would forgive or overlook for the sake of our marriage. And then I wadded it up and I threw it away. And ever since that day, whenever he does something that makes me hopping mad, I'll say, lucky for him, that's one of the 10. And that's how we made it. And folks, the friendship of two depends on the patience and the forgiveness of one. The marriage of two depends on the patience and the forgiveness of one. And in God's name, you decide that you're going to be that one. So if I stand up here and think about forgiveness today, and there's a face that comes in your mind, and there's something you haven't let go yet, let me encourage you to forgive. And maybe you're like me, and I sincerely feel this way. I don't think of a face. I cannot think of a person that has hurt me and I haven't let it go and I feel like I need to. And if you're in that category, and maybe a lot of you are, let me encourage you this week to practice a week of forgiveness. This is from a preacher named Roy Zuck. He says, this is a program, a weekly program for developing a truly forgiving heart. Here's what he says. On Sunday, today, forgive yourself. You're not perfect. Forgive yourself for that. Cancel the debt that you might think you owe to yourself for your imperfection. On Monday, forgive your family. On Tuesday, forgive your friends and associates for things they have done and maybe for those little things that they just do on a regular basis that bug and bother you. On Wednesday, forgive across economic lines within your own nation. On Thursday, forgive across cultural lines within your own nation. On Friday, forgive across political lines within your own nation. And on Saturday, forgive other nations. Can you imagine the good that would come in our country if people would follow that weekly plan? Well, let's start, and let's start right here, and let's start this week building a truly forgiving heart. We talked earlier about being sued for your sin in heaven's court, so to speak, and Jesus saying, you know what, let them go free. I'll take that debt on myself. Have you publicly accepted his offer to do that? You've got to agree to it. You've got to accept it. You do that through faith and confession and repentance and baptism. You have a sin debt to God that you could never in a thousand lifetimes repay. And Jesus says, I'll cover it. Wipe it clean. Let them walk out of here free. If you've never accepted that, then the invitation is about accepting it in a public way. We invite you to do that as together we stand and as we sing.